Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our current series of studies, Christ in the Four Gospels. And we have given an introduction covering two broadcasts, but today we wish to get into the interesting part of this study. We want to turn you to the book of Matthew. Matthew writes of the king. Mark writes of the perfect servant. Luke writes of the Son of Man, and John writes of the Son of God. And in this fourfold picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, we get a wonderful view of who he is. Our horizons are enlarged as we consider Christ in the four Gospels. Now, we're going to consider Matthew and study it with some degree of intensity today, and we trust that you will not consider this too theological, too didactic, too preaching form, not at all. It is most interesting, and you'll see it, I think, immediately. Now, how far do we have to get into the book of Matthew before we see the fact that his theme is about the king? Well, this is going to surprise you. Verse 1, chapter 1, here it is. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Now, God made a promise to Abraham, and God made a promise to David. And that was that there was going to be a king, and the king was going to come out of their line. Now, Luke gives us the genealogy of Mary, and he goes clear back to Adam because he's writing of Christ, the Son of Man. But here, Matthew only goes back to Abraham and to David because he's writing of Christ the King. There's no discrepancy between the genealogies. One is the genealogy of Joseph, and one is the genealogy of Mary. But isn't it interesting that the New Testament begins the book of the generation of Jesus Christ? Do you remember how the Old Testament begins? Well, here it is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We're introduced to God immediately. In the New Testament, we're introduced to Christ immediately. The book of the generation, of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Now, we're going to read about those promises. They're wonderful. Abraham has been called by God to go to a mountain of Moriah and offer up Isaac as a burnt offering. Jacob goes and Isaac submits. Or rather, Abraham goes and Isaac submits. But God intervenes, you know, you remember the story. God would not let Abraham slay his son. He spared him that terrible pain of anguish. But the sad part is, God didn't spare himself the anguish of giving his own son to die not on an altar, but on a cross. How wonderful. But God was so pleased when Abraham obeyed him that we read in the 15th verse of the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now the Apostle Paul makes a divine commentary led by the Holy Spirit of God as to what this seed really meant. Here it is, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Here's what Paul writes. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ is the one that God has in mind. Christ is the one. And you know the Lord Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. He saw there was a coming king to rule through whom all the earth would be blessed. Now to David, we read in the 7th chapter of 2 Samuel, David there planned to build a temple for the Lord. The Lord had not asked him to do it. It was not the Lord's idea. It was David's idea. He says, I dwell in a palace. And the sanctuary of God dwells among curtains. I'm going to build him a house. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, the prophet, and he told him afterwards, he told him these words. Moreover, he says, the Lord is speaking now through Nathan. He's speaking to David, through his prophet. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in the place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he shall make thee an house. And when thy days shall be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And our Lord Jesus Christ was a direct descendant of David, just as God promised David that his seed would rule over the earth and that his kingdom should be forever. So God fulfilled his promise in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how far after this verse do we go into the book of Matthew before we see Christ the King? Well, the 2nd chapter. We read there in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now there's no account of this in Mark. There's no account of this in Luke. This is reserved for Matthew to tell of the coming king. And he tells about the visit of the wise men. It's Matthew that gives us this story. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And you know the rest of the story. That star led them not to the manger, but to the house where they were living at that time. This was not that the newly born cradle of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was in the house, in the 11th verse of that same chapter we read. And when they were come into the house, not the stable, where you see the wise men in the stable, that is not correct at all. That's the artist's conception of it, but it's not true. They came to a house. Why? Because this is speaking of Christ the King, not Christ the Savior, not Christ the Shepherd. That's reserved for Luke. We'll notice it when we get there. But this is the king, so they come to the house. Now listen, please, what they do. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These are gifts befitting a king. And our Lord Jesus Christ made a statement on the Sermon on the Mount. I'd like to read it. In that Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, verses 34 and 35, we read this. The Lord is the speaker. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Capital K. The great king. The city of the great king. And that great king was standing before them. They knew him as Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. The Lord tells them, I am the king. Now this is reserved for Matthew. He tells us about that great king from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now we're going to skip way over. There are many instances of the confirmation of the fact that Matthew wrote of him as the king. But we cannot cover them. As a matter of fact, research would reveal new instances of this wonderful, wonderful subject. But in the 25th chapter of Matthew, we have our Lord Jesus Christ again referring to himself. Here it is, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory with all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Just a moment. Somebody says, what does it say here? When the Son of Man shall come. Now, isn't that line reserved for Luke? Oh, no. Luke writes of Christ as the Son of Man, yes. But that doesn't mean that Matthew can't refer to him as the Son of Man. The Lord can't refer to himself as the Son of Man. There is a difference here. Our Lord Jesus Christ refers to himself as the Son of Man because he was in humility. He was not going to a throne. He was going to a cross. And he refers to himself as the Son of Man. But let's read on. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And behold, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hunger and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. And he finally tells them, now he says, in verse 40, now the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You did it to me. But there are others there that didn't do this. And the king shall say to them, depart from me, ye cursed. Oh, it's the king speaking now. He's on his throne. He's not headed for a cross. He's the king. Now, let's go to the last of the book of Matthew, and we'll just speak, not reading any scriptures. In this portion of scripture, Matthew spends two full chapters talking or writing of the Lord's speech about what's going to come when he does receive his kingdom. Two chapters in the book of Matthew cover that subject. Christ is coming again to reign. Only one chapter is reserved for Luke, and a part of a chapter for Mark, and John doesn't even mention it. The Lord is comforting his disciples. John doesn't even mention it. It's reserved for Matthew. It's wonderful to see how God works. Our Father, we pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will enlarge our horizons. Help us to get a glimpse of the majesty of our Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.